Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM. Good evening, good Friday evening, and welcome to Game On. Hugh Cahill doesn't eat meat on Good Friday, doesn't come to work either, it seems. So it's Evanny Cullen with you this evening. Lots to get through in the company of one of RT Sport's greatest, Elaine Buckley. Elaine, thank you for taking the time out from your swimming and your sub-editing to come into a windowless studio on the sunniest day of the year so far.
No problem at all.
I know it's no problem. You're so good. We've League of Ireland, Premier League, Champions Cup, and a thorough preview of the weekend's Lidl Ladies Football League Division 1 semi-finals with Cork's 11-time All-Ireland winner, Breed Stack, who'll join us later on. But first of all, Elaine, just have a bit of business to get out of the way. We are very proud of you here at Game On. We want to recognise that pride. So from everyone at Game On, we have a little token of recognition for the epic Swim for a Mile effort that you made. With Swim Ireland, we have a trophy here. Now, this trophy, for the benefit of the listeners, is the Andoil Perpetual Trophy. It used to be swapped between this radio station and another radio station on an annual soccer match, but it's been out of commission for a while, so what better recipient? Elaine, congratulations.
Oh my God, sporting highlight of my career.
Yeah, we'll have to get a photo later on, but just to keep everyone up to date, Elaine couldn't swim 6 months ago at all. Am I right in saying that?
I had done lessons as a kid, but I couldn't swim one length of a pool.
Couldn't swim one length of a pool, and she did the Swim for a Mile 2 weeks ago, 64 lengths yep. of the Abbottstown 25-metre pool, the National Aquatic Centre, without armbands.
Without armbands, yeah. It was a big jump now. It was actually such a thoroughly enjoyable experience. Like it just really felt like learning something from scratch, being completely out of your comfort zone, and then just kind of once you get into the flow of it and the lengths started racking up, it's actually, you just realise how competitive you are. Just because it's an individual sport doesn't mean you can't be competitive against yourself. So I was very proud of it, and I would thoroughly encourage anyone who's thinking about doing it to just get stuck into it next year. It's a brilliant programme that Swim Ireland run, and I would heartily endorse it.
Well, you're a great ambassador for the initiative, so well done. We're going to call you Dory from now on, if that's all right. So, okay, Dory, you just keep swimming there. And I know you're loving that, aren't you? We'll get a picture with the trophy. It's huge, by the way. It's like half the size of Elaine. Before we go any further, a shout out for the Punters Council today. So, as always, we have a €100 charity bet with thanks to Boyle Sports. So, if you are a member of a sports club or a charity and would like to pick one of our three top tips from Leon Blanche, Jane Mangan or David Connolly, give us a text now on 51552 and we will chat to you later on in the programme. Now, there are five Airtricity League Premier Division games down for decision tonight. The big one features the top two leaders. Shamrock Rovers travel to the Ryan McBride Brandywell. Eric White is there for us. Good evening, Eric.
Ivan, good evening, and a glorious evening it is indeed here on the banks of the River Foyle for a top of the table clash, as you say, but one that doesn't involve either Dundalk or Cork City. Shamrock Rovers, the main protagonists on this occasion, with Derry City, arguably the surprise package of the season so far, trying to remain on their coattails. 8 points, the gap as it stands, although the Candy Stripes have played a game less, so they know a win tonight would see that lead cut to 5. Both sides are on a tremendous run of form. Rovers with 7 successive Premier Division wins and hoping to make it 8 in a row for the first time since 1987. Derry have won their last 5 in all competitions and have only dropped points at home this season to Dundalk. Declan Devine, the City boss, says tonight's match will give a good indication as to how far his new look side has come in a short period of time. As for the team news, well, City won 3-1 at St Patrick's Athletic on Monday night. 2 changes to that team as Owen Toole and skipper Barry McNamee are restored to the starting lineup in place of Josh Kerr and Gerardo Bruna, the Argentinian who scored a quite magnificent free kick in that win at Richmond Park. So the Derry team will have Peter Cherry in goal, the back four of Darren Cole, Owen Toole, Ali Gilchrist lining up of course against his former club, and Patrick McLean in midfield. It's Kieran Harkin, Greg Sloggett and Barry McNamee, and up front Owen Stokes, Junior Ogedi Uzokwe and David Parkhoy. Shamrock Rovers, they're unchanged from their last outing, which was a 2-1 win at home to Waterford. So for them, it's Alan Manis in goal, across the back Joey O'Brien, Roberto Lopez, Lee Grace, Trevor Clark, midfield Dylan Watts, Aaron McInniff, of course coming back to his hometown club. He scored in the 2-0 win at Talla between the two sides earlier in the season. He's in midfield along with Ronan Finn, and then it's Jack Byrne, Sean Kavanagh and Aaron Green. I should point out that this match, of course, taking place against a backdrop of deep sadness following the murder last night of journalist Lyra McKee in the city, and a minute's silence will be observed prior to the 7:45 kickoff. But the anticipation is building, the crowd is building, despite the fact that this game will be live on RTE2 television. We're still expecting a bumper crowd for this top of the table clash here at Brandywell.
Thanks very much, Eric. Yeah, no doubt, no surprise, I suppose, that that horrific news overnight is resonating with the people at the Brandywell, and I'm sure that minute silence will be looked at and will be acknowledged at other games tonight as well. Now, there was some news off the field during the week for Waterford. Their owner and chairperson, Lee Power, has issued a strongly worded statement today, which is very critical of the FAI's handling of their expulsion from the 2019-2020 Europa League. For more on this now and a look ahead to what's going on at the RSC tonight is our reporter, John Kenny.
Yeah, welcome to the RSC, ahead of Waterford against Cork City. But I suppose it's the madness that's gone off the pitch rather than on it that's exercising the minds of the Waterford supporters down here. Lee Power, the owner of Waterford, has said he's going to appeal the decision of UEFA not to allow them into the Europa League. And if he doesn't get that appeal successful, he's going to then demand compensation, which could be anything up to a quarter of a million. I'm joined by Matt Keane of local radio station WLR. Matt, you've been looking at the story all week. Lee Parris seems pretty aggrieved by all of this.
Well, you can't blame the man, really, John. It came like a bolt out of the blue. And what people can't understand is this has gone on for 5 months, and by all accounts, the club were given assurances and reassurances. The UEFA delegates here to pass the pitch and everything. And Lee Power is going very strongly about the FAI and the handling of this, and he's demanding an inquiry into it. So, I mean, he saved the club, John. This club was on his knees 3 years ago. He got the club back into the out of the first division at the first attempt, then into Europe, which is incredible. Mm. And he, you know, you feel so sorry for the man, you feel so sorry for the players, Alan Reynolds, and all the supporters. It really is a dreadfully sad 24 hours for Waterford FC, John.
Sure, and you've been gauging the mood of the supporters, obviously, on WLR. What's the feeling?
Oh, I mean, it's like a debt to the family. That's the way I can know. People are just, we should be built up for a monster match here tonight. You know, it's our biggest game, really is Cork City and Waterford FC. But fans are just consumed with this. You know, it's just people are, they're just bowled over. They can't understand it, you know. People were looking forward to it so much, back in Europe for the first time in 33 years, and it's just taken away from us. And it's dreadfully sad, John. And sure, every soccer supporter, and even people who are not involved in the game, have been stopping me all day, say, what's going on? This is terrible. This would have been great for the Waterford City and County. You know, it gave everybody a buzz. Everybody's simply heartbroken, John. That's the only way I can put it.
Sure, and Power is actually pointing the finger of accusation at the FAI, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah. He said that, you know, he's appalled in the manner in which they've dealt with this, like, you know, and it's, I know he has high-powered legal people working on it already, so what's going to unfold again, you know, in the coming weeks? We all have enough of it, what's going on over the last number of weeks, but here is at our own doorstep now, John, and everybody is just heartbroken and devastated.
Sure. And how do you think this appeal is going to go? Do you think any chance of being successful?
I don't know, John. Has there been a precedent for this before? I don't know. Like, people are talking about years ago.
Derry City is the one, isn't it?
Yeah, and yeah. Fingal seemed you were allowed. I don't know the ins and outs of it and all that business. Like, but hopefully it won't drag on and on and on. We get to the bottom of it sooner rather than later. But, you know, it's a devastating blow for the club. I mean, 240,000, John. I mean, you know, I mean, that's a lifeline to a club like Waterford.
Okay.
And it's taken away from us, isn't it?
Sure. Matt Keane there from WLR. The kickoff here is 7:45, Waterford against Cork. But as I said, a lot of the stuff that's going off the pitch at the moment and the fact that they're not being allowed to play in the Europa League is the one thing that really is exercising the minds down here.
Yeah, an interesting week, an interesting month for the FAI. Just got a whole lot more interesting. Okay, next up, St Patrick's Athletic are hosting Sligo Rovers. There for us is Marie Crowe.
Liam Buckley returns to Richmond Park as his Sligo Rovers team faces former side St Patrick's Athletic, and he says his only priority is getting the victory. Sligo are searching for a second away win of the season, and this would see them leapfrog the Saints in the table, as only a point separates the two teams. But Sligo are still without their key player Ronan Murray, who is serving a four-game ban. St Pat's will be looking to bounce back from their loss to Derry City, and they are boosted by the news that they will have European football this summer, and also by the return of Chris Forrester, Brandon Mile, Mikey Drennan and Dave Webster. Harry Kenny will be without defender Kevin Toner, who is suspended. The last time these two sides met, St Pat's came out on top in a tight game thanks to a goal from Mikey Drennan. The game here at Richmond Park kicks off at 7:45.
And another 7:45 kickoff. Finn Harps are at Dundalk, and so is Adrian Eames.
Well, this is a match which Dundalk will be expected to win. They simply cannot afford to lose any further ground on the pace setters after back-to-back losses to St Pat's and Sligo Rovers. Dundalk steadied the ship with a 1-0 victory over Bowles here on Monday night, but in truth, it was a very fortunate win for the home side, Pat Hooban lashing in an injury time penalty. Harps, well, they simply can't catch a break. 11 games played, yet to win, just 2 points on the board. As Ollie Horgan, their manager, points out, Harps cannot afford to concede early tonight against the defending champions. When the sides met at Finn Park in February, it ended one apiece. I think Ollie would happily take a similar outcome tonight. Kick-off here at Oriel Park is at 7:45.
And finally, Bowes against UCD at Dalymount Park. Andrew O'Connor.
Third place Bohemians welcome UCD to Dalymount Park, hoping to bounce back after a heartbreaking defeat to Dundalk on Monday. And with their two main rivals facing off at the Brandywell, they'll see tonight's 3 points as vital. The students beat Cork City on Monday. They'll be hoping to grab their third win in four league games. Gypsy striker Dinny Corcoran will be hoping to add to his 4 goals already this season against his old club. In fact, there are 4 ex-UCD players in this Bohemian squad. The students have the best disciplinary record in the league, and they welcome back Conor Davis from injury to their squad. It's a beautiful evening here in North Dublin for another Dublin derby. It's Bohemians versus UCD, and kickoff is at 7:45.
Okay, those are the games on tonight, and if there are any goals between 7:45 and 8, we'll try and bring those to you. Just a couple of sports headlines before we take a break. In golf, having been tied for the overall lead at one stage today, Ireland's Seamus Power had to settle for a 1 over par 72 on day 2 of the RBC Heritage Tournament on the PGA Tour. His total has seen him just sit outside the top 30, but today's play has been suspended due to inclement weather. Shane Lowry is still the leader. He was the leader overnight. He's now further a couple of shots ahead. He's 8 under par out there on his own, but his round was delayed. I think he only played 2 holes before they called it off. And in cycling then, Sam Bennett has finished 3rd on stage 4 of the Tour of Turkey and remains in the overall lead with 2 stages to go. Don't forget our Punters Council 51552 is the text if you are a member of a sports club or charity. Meanwhile, we'll be back in a couple of minutes here on Game On.
Hear it. See it. Live it. Go. 2FM. Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. New skin guard sensitive with unique skin guard technology, taking the pressure off the blades and your shave. Say bye to shave irritation. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Welcome back to Game On. 51552 is the number for your text messages. So if you have any questions for Breed Stack or Elaine Buckley, send them in. We're going to be talking all things Division 1 semi-finals very shortly. So send your questions our way. Now, first, it's a huge weekend for Irish rugby. Munster and Leinster are, of course, still on course to meet in an All-Irish Champions Cup final. That's if they can overcome Saracens and Toulouse, respectively, this weekend. In a moment, we'll hear the thoughts of former Ireland captain Paul O'Connell. But in terms of team news, Keith Earls is going to miss that big game tomorrow due to injury. Mike Haley will start at full back with Andrew Conway and Darren Sweetenham on the wings. Joey Carberry, of course, is also injured, so as expected, Tyler Blaendell starts at out half. Ty Byrne is there in the second row, Peter Romani, CJ Stander and Jack O'Donoghue in the back row. Munster play Saracens. Billy Vunipola, who was castigated by the club earlier this week for his online support of the sacked Australian fullback Israel Folau, will start at number 8. Their captain Brad Barrett has recovered from an ankle injury to slot back at inside centre alongside Alex Lazowski. Owen Farrell and Liam Williams are also in that starting lineup. The second semi-final then is between Leinster and Toulouse at the Aviva Stadium. Johnny Sexton returns to captain the home side. Rob Kearney will start at fullback with Jordan Larmour and James Lowe on the wings. Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose reform their centre partnership, and it's an all-Irish international pack including Devon Toner and James Ryan in the second row with Scott Fardy on the bench. Now, here is Paul O'Connell speaking this morning with Des Cahill.
I think Saracens are probably one of the most well-run clubs in Europe now, and probably one of the best coach clubs in Europe. They provide the bulk of the players to the English team, and as we all know, England have been playing really well recently. So they're an excellent side, and it's a massive challenge for Munster. I don't think Munster would have managed to put 58 points on Glasgow like Saracens managed to do in the quarterfinal.
So what do Munster have to do to try and edge it?
I think they're going to have to score tries, which, you know, they probably didn't do when they played against them last time, and they struggled against them in that regard last time. They're a very hard team to break down. They're probably, defensively, they've been ahead of everyone else in Europe for the last 4 or 5 years. So they're going to have to figure out a way to break them down, and they're going to have to play rugby. Saracens Maul, I watch a lot of rugby now, and Saracens Maul is probably one of the most powerful mauls in Europe as well. So not giving away penalties so that you have to defend 5 metre mauls, and then when you do have to defend a 5 metre maul against Saracens, being able to get the job done is a big part of trying to beat them as well.
Right. Now, Toulouse come to Leinster, and obviously you see them closely. You're hugely impressed with Toulouse.
Yeah, they're an incredible side, and we have two Toulouse players, former Toulouse players, playing at the club in Paris with me at the moment, and they were telling me how they're coached. I mean, they play a lot of touch rugby. They offload compulsively in training. There's no complaining if you put a ball down, try to offload in training in Toulouse. It's part of their philosophy, and they've gone back to that philosophy now. The guys like Thomas Castagnède and their board who are directing how they play. And they've gone away from trying to play, I suppose, some of the more structured rugby, which has probably come into European clubs and Six Nations teams. And they have a very small backline, a very young, fast, small backline, and they play from everywhere. They're a real joy to watch in the French Championship this year. They beat Clermont 47-44, scoring a last-minute try last week. And there's big belief there. I think they've much more belief now than they would have had when they played Leinster earlier on in the year. So I think if there's any team capable of beating Leinster in Europe at the moment, I'd still have Leinster as hot favourites, but if there's any team capable of beating them, it's probably Toulouse.
And if you're travelling this Easter Sunday, there will be full commentary on that Leinster game on Sunday Sport on Radio 1. And there'll also be updates from the Munster Sarries game on Saturday Sport tomorrow. So all to play for, hopefully an All-Irish final is what we can look forward to. Now, Elaine Buckley, you will be on the road on Sunday as well. Easter eggs, ham sandwiches in the boot of the car. Nolan Park is your venue for Sunday. Looking forward to that Cork-Dublin match.
Absolutely cannot wait. No better way to spend an Easter Sunday. It's great that it was upgraded to Nolan Park to be played on the superior pitch for a start, but yeah, it's going to be an absolute cracker.
It's the kind of game as well that's going to get a great crowd, and like that's another reason why Nolan Park is a fantastic venue for a game like that. Now the recently retired Rebel, her Breed Stack, is on the line. Hi Breed, how are you?
Hi Nan, how are you keeping?
Great, and Elaine is here as well. I know you're raring to talk about Sunday, Breed, but will we look at Galway Donegal first, because it's happening tomorrow? To go through it, first of all, your initial thoughts on the game tomorrow, Breed, having seen some of the games during the league?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I know, look, it's the same pairing as probably the last group match as well. Something probably that, you know, both set semi-finalists, you know, I suppose, you know, they've already just seen very recently kind of what the other team is made of. But I think there's probably a lot of kind of artillery being kept in the back pocket by all four teams. But I suppose looking at Galway Donegal, I just think, you know, Galway going forward, I said it at the very start of the league launch that I just think Galway are going to be a side that we're really going to have to keep an eye on for the rest of the year. I suppose, look, they have fallen maybe at the final hurdle a few times, you know, in recent years. They want to get back to a league final. I suppose the last time they were in a league final was against us in 2015, and they pushed us to a replay, you know. So I just think this Galway side, you know, they're a lot more focused, I think, this year. They are a lot more balanced, and they just seem to be, you know, going from strength to strength. They've 6 wins from 7 games, and you know, I suppose, look, having beaten Donegal, I suppose, in the last group game there by 9 points, I suppose for me, I would see Galway coming out on top, you know, versus Donegal in the semi-final.
the scalps they've taken as well, Elaine. Like, they've beaten Dublin, they've beaten Mayo in the last few weeks. Is this their year to get back to a top tier decider?
Yeah, I think, like, Galway have, first of all, it's great that Galway and Donegal are meeting in the semi-final, and likewise that Dublin and Cork are as well, because it means we will have kind of a new pairing to talk about in the final, that it won't be Dublin Cork. I think Galway have been going really well. Like, they came out of the blocks absolutely flying. Donegal had a very strong start as well, but this Donegal side is very much a team in transitions. They've really lost a lot of senior players, Aoife Mack, Ciara Hegarty, and just during the week they've got confirmation that Yvonne Bonner is not going to be rejoining the panel. She's been overplaying AFLW, but she's confirmed that she's staying
out.
She won't be back for championship, which is a big blow to them as well. Also, their injury hit list for Sunday or for tomorrow will be a bit of a concern as well. You know, they've named their starting 15. Katie Herron and Tracy Doherty aren't in it, both kind of fighting to get back from injury. Neither Geraldine McLaughlin, who's had a broken hand. Now, they haven't named the extended bench, they haven't made that public, so they could be hiding a few big guns on the bench. But certainly looking at the two teams on paper, I think Galway should be making their way into a league final.
Have Donegal fallen off the pace a bit, Breed? Like Elaine said, they did start really, really strongly. They beat Dublin, Mayo, Monaghan, Tipperary, came asunder a little bit against Cork. So, like, is it just that they've lost momentum?
Yeah, like, and in fairness to them, like, I suppose they were coming into a league, you know, like Elaine said, without a lot of their big players, but they just seem to draw these young guns that had absolutely no fear. And, you know, they went into that first game versus Dublin in Croke Park and just absolutely let rip. And I think, you know, everyone really kind of, you know, stood up and took heed of them. But I think, you know, momentum carried them so far. And then, I suppose, look, unfortunately, you know, they came into a Cork game. That Cork game, they travelled down to Cork. They played without the two Hagertys. They had lost Geraldine McLaughlin, I suppose, just the week previously to a broken hand. I suppose, look, maybe momentum had dipped a small little bit at that stage. And then, look, Cork just completely took control that day. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, look, it is hard to get that momentum back. And then, you know, to go into the Galway game and to, I suppose, come out, you know, 9 points, you know, 9 points down from them. You know, I suppose it's something that... Donegal definitely, you know, I just don't think that they have the momentum at the moment going into the league semi-final. But look, it is a case though of completely regrouping come championship. There, like, they're a very formidable side always. They always perform extremely strongly in Ulster Championship. And you know, having getting Geraldine back, like, they have Niamh Hegarty back now as well, you know, I suppose, which they were lacking the day that I saw against Cork, and she's just another fantastic outlet for them. I felt the day against Cork it was just a small bit one dimensional and everything, you know, they were just trying to put everything through Karen Guthrie, and you know, it just wasn't happening. But, you know, Niamh is a fantastic footballer and another fantastic outlet there, and maybe it was a leader like that they were missing that day versus Cork. And but just for me, I think they're just missing too many of the big guns, and if Katie Herron or Katie isn't starting, you know that's a big blow to them as well. So I suppose, just for me, I just think that, you know, there's just a few odds stacked against them now going into this semi-final. But, you know, they're a fantastic crew to regroup, you know, come championship.
Matchups, Elaine, we never really hear enough about the best players going up against one another when we talk about, you know, ladies football previews. Quite often it's around form and it's around very generic win or lose kind of previews. But in terms of matchups, like, have you got any, you know, one-on-one battles that we should look out for? Because, like, these games are going to be streamed, I should mention, on the Facebook page for the ladies football.
Yeah, for me it's kind of more about line v line in Galway Donegal, because Galway's half forward line is so potent. Like, Olivia Dively is just one of the most, she's just one of the most underrated players in the country. She poses such an attacking threat. She's so tall, so good in the air, so good at driving forward. Tracy Leonard playing at centre forward, again, is just so hard to contain. If they foul them, Tracy Leonard is going to hit those frees. So, like, I really think that Cara McLaughlin and Hegarty have a big job containing that Galway half forward line tomorrow.
Is McLaughlin centre back?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's where you see the big battle in that game.
Yeah, big
okay.
time.
Okay, let's move on to Dublin Cork, because it's just tasty, isn't it? It's just one of those games. And, like, I know you say it's a great thing that they're meeting the semi-final, and it is, because, like you say, we're going to have a brand new partnership, or a brand new A against B when it comes to the final. But on Sunday, I suppose what's interesting about Dublin is they lost their opening game. They went on and they won a whole rake of matches, and then they went and lost to Cork in their last game.
Yeah,
of the group games.
I wouldn't read too much into Dublin's form so far. Like, they have they've played over 35 different players in this league campaign so far. The only player to start all seven rounds of the group stages was Alwyn Carey, and she played in about four or five different positions. So, like, even Dublin and Cork's meeting in round seven, it was meaningless. They were both already through to the semi-finals. Mm. It was shadow boxing at best.
Sinead Hearn still wasn't too happy when I spoke to her afterwards about losing to them.
But yeah, I think the shadow boxing is definitely over, and on Sunday we're going to see, particularly with the team that Dublin have named, like they're going all out for this.
I think it's like 13 of the team from the All-Ireland, is it?
13 of the 15 that started in Croke Park. Yeah. Crucially, who they're missing though, and what a lot of the position hopping kind of throughout the rounds has been about. Dublin are missing Leah Caffrey. She's gone away for the season. She's gone away travelling. Leah is, and I've said it time and time again, Leah is one of those players that you don't realise how much she does until she's not doing it. She is a criminally underrated cornerback. If there's a marquee forward to be taken out of a game, Leah has been the woman to do it for Dublin in the last 2 years. Rachel Ruddy is back from travelling, so, like, you know, it's a straight swap. But also on Sunday, they're missing Siobhan McGrath at number six, which there's a bit of shuffling around there again. Alwyn Carey is dropping back to fullback. Niamh Collins is going out to wingback. She has been trialled at fullback with varying degrees of success. So Mick Bone has been playing around with his defence an awful lot. And another big change coming up on Sunday is Sinead Goldrick is moving into midfield. Now, I cannot remember the last time I saw Sinead Goldrick playing in midfield, but that is going to be really intriguing to see as well.
Well, Sinead could probably play anywhere, but she just doesn't look like a midfielder, but that doesn't mean she can't do it. Breed, what's Effie doing? What's the game plan in leaving Dearne O'Sullivan and Emer Scally on the bench, or is that a dummy team that we're looking at?
like, I suppose Mick Bowen is definitely just throwing it all out there on paper, and, you know, it seems like an absolutely unbelievable side, you know, the Dublin side that's being out. But I don't know, looking at this Cork side, I'm not sure if that is going to be the Cork team that's going to start. Like Dearn, Scally, Anya Terry, Rona Buckley, like unbelievable talent on the bench. But I suppose, look, he has, since the very start of this year, he has gone with youth and he has trusted youth, and youth has gotten him this far. And in fairness to all the girls, you know, that that are starting there on paper, all of them have proven themselves time and time again. So, but I suppose, look, just, you know, like, even if you do look back at the last game that they played in the group stages, Cork versus Dublin, just kind of going on the Twitter feed and everything, like, Cork seemed to have, you know, goal chances the last day versus Dublin. And I think if you have the likes of Dearn and Scally, you know, coming in, or even starting, like, they are ruthless, and, you know, they will put away those goal chances with maybe, you know, that were skewed the last day, like, you know. So I don't know, looking at that team, I couldn't imagine that Dearn and Scally wouldn't be either starting or we wouldn't be seeing them very, very early on.
Yeah, as Elaine said, like, the group game that they played a couple of weeks ago was, in a sense, meaningless. They'd already qualified for the semi-finals. Yeah. But, Breed, like, is there any danger that it could be the worst thing for Cork that they beat Dublin that day?
Yeah, I suppose. But, look, I think both teams are very used to each other now as well. Both managers are very, very used to each other now as well. So, you know, they're not going to get overly excited by that by any means. Not at all. A lot of those girls, look, they've played Dublin for many years now. You know, in the last couple of years, they'll be telling those younger girls just to cool the jets there now, because there's nothing won at this stage. And, you know, when it comes to knockout stages, both teams will really, really want to be out on top, and Mick Bowen has really put down a statement of intent with the team that he has put out for Sunday.
Yeah, that's him laying down a marker, is it, Elaine?
Big time. Like, even look at the front six. Like, take your pick of which one of those forwards is going to do damage on Sunday. Like, the Cork defence, who are missing Roisin Phelan and Melissa Duggan, like, they're going to have their hands very, very full. And again, like, Niamh McAvoy at centre, half forward. Niamh is just the kind of player, she drives that Dublin team. If Niamh was held up, if Niamh was subject to the same statistical analysis as they are in the men's game, she'd be held up on a platform like Ciarán Kilkenny for the way she kind of pulls the strings. So, you know, there's going to be a big job containing her. Likewise, down the other end, Cork have been a different beast since the Moran Abbey games, since the Moran Abbey girls came back. Ciara at centre forward, like, she's just such a formidable force. Going to be a very interesting matchup between her and Sinead Finnegan, who is not traditionally a number six that is taking on that role on Sunday. I don't for a second believe that Deirna O'Sullivan is going to start on the bench. You know, she's Cork's captain for this season. I think it's just been a mess. And, you know, Emer Scally has form as a really good impact sub. But I also think she's such a potent forward that she poses such an attacking threat that she could well start as well. But, yeah, I suppose we'll be having the pens out ready to make the changes to the programme on Sunday.
Early on, Elaine, I'd say.
Elaine, a couple of matchups for us to look out for when we're watching that game on Sunday.
Oh God, I think it's going to be interesting how another big factor for Cork, Orla Finn coming back in from concussion. She's playing at full forward and it's going to be Alwyn Carey most likely picking her up. That's going to be a fascinating battle. Two very different styles of players. Again, Orla Finn, much like Sinead Ahern at the other end of the pitch, if you foul her, she's going to be putting points on the board from the place kicks. She is a formidable place kicker. And the midfield battle, I think, is going to be really interesting with Goldie in there as well against Cotter and O'Callaghan. So, there's just everywhere you look all over the pitch, there's just brilliant matchups. Niamh Collins against Orla Farmer as well. Mm. You know, Niamh kind of thrives on picking out a marquee forward and making their lives a misery. Look what she did to Saoirse Noonan when she came off the bench last year. Saoirse didn't touch the ball for 15 minutes. And there's another possibility that she could come into the game and mix it up. Saoirse's just back from injury and also named on the bench. She was such a goal threat for Cork last year. So, you know, she could be coming on to give Dublin a few headaches as well.
It does feel like this is the league final, and without disrespecting the other two teams, but they're just the calibre of the Cork and Dublin teams is just so high, and they know each other so well, and there's such a spice to it as well. It does feel like this is really the big game of the weekend.
Yeah, but I think on the other side of the draw that Galway have a massive point to prove here as well. Like this time last year down in Kinnegad when Galway played Dublin in the league semi-final, Leanne Cohen scored in the first minute and they led for the whole match.
That was a very late goal by Nicole Owens, wasn't it?
It took Nicole scoring, coming off the bench and scoring, certainly the best goal I've ever seen her score. It was an absolute cracker. And it was scored right at the death. And like Galway, I'd say, they were there for the taking that day. And then they met again, the All-Ireland semi-final, and you know, you have to start strong against the Dubs or they will hit you hard. And Galway just didn't really show up in those crucial kind of opening 10 minutes in those exchanges. I think Galway will have, you know, they've a pretty much a clean bill of health here and they'll be going out to make a big point and they want to get back into a league final. So I think they'll be gunning for it and, you know, they won't mind who they're playing, either Dublin or Cork.
No fear. Yeah. Bree, do I get you to call the two games for us before you go? No pressure.
Oh, geez. I suppose, look, in the Galway Donegal semi-final, I just think going on form, going on, I suppose, strength and depth that they have at the moment, I suppose I would definitely be tipping Galway. The Cork Dublin game, I don't believe that is going to be the team that's going to start. I do think, you know, that Galway or Cork, having been beaten by Mayo last year in the semi-final, you know, they're going to be mad to get another crack at it. They will, you know, see this as a huge chance now to just throw the kitchen sink at Dublin. And I don't know, like, for me, I think at the moment Dublin probably have trialled way more players. I do think maybe Dublin could be just that little bit stronger than Cork, but I don't think it's going to be a horrendously bad thing if Cork lose this, because I think, you know, they're going to be going in with a bit of grit between the teeth, you know, going into the championship. But I think going on form and going on how much they have in the tank, and I suppose Cork maybe still just trying to find that back line a small little bit and kind of, you know, set out their stall on what their starting team is. So for me, I think maybe Dublin might just itch it.
That was so hard for you, wasn't it?
It killed you to say
that,
Stacky.
Horrendous. I'm now going to go out in my mustache and glasses so no one will see me.
Elaine, would you go along with it before we wrap this up?
I think Galway will beat this Donegal team, but I think Donegal are going to pose a massive threat come championship when they have their full bill of health. And on Sunday, based on the teams that have been named, I think Dublin will win, but we'll see what changes we're making to the programme in the half hour before throw in on Sunday. I might have a different answer then.
I think there'll be a few red changes, all right, between now and 2 o'clock on Sunday. Breed Stack, thank you so much, and Elaine Buckley as well. Those games, by the way, will be streamed live on the Ladies Football Facebook page. Galway Donegal is tomorrow at 2:15, and Cork Dublin is on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and that's in Nolan Park in Kilkenny. Thanks very much, ladies. Enjoy what's left of the bright evening, Breed, and enjoy the weekend's matches. Time for a quick break. Back in 2 minutes.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Skin Guard Sensitive, the first razor of its kind designed to stop irritation on sensitive skin. So say bye-bye to shave irritation and razor bumps. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Welcome back to Game on 2FM. We're just recovering from Breed Stack's preview of the ladies football semi-finals. A whole pile of passion there ahead of the Cork Dublin game on Sunday. We didn't even get time to talk about the Premier League. There's a lot of matches on over the weekend, but even just looking back at the Spurs Man City game, and they have to play again for the third time in almost as many weeks after the Champions League stuff during the week. We have a clip here of Pochettino just talking about their season's third round, because it has been pretty epic.
On the beginning of the season, no one believed that destiny is going to reward us. And 5 years ago, no one believed to be here, 5 years after. Of course, that I believe in the universe, but you need to work. You need to make that to have the option to be rewarded from the destiny or the universe. It's an energy there that helps the people that work, you need to work if you want to be rewarded. But when you need to look backward and assess, the last decision, I think the important decision and the key decision with Daniel was to move to the new stadium. No one was agree with us, because all believe, why not finish the season on Wembley, move again to another stadium. But I told you, I think be positive is always the most important. Take a risk.
Wouldn't mind being managed by him. He's got that vibe going on, doesn't he? That positive vibe. That game, Spurs Man City, is tomorrow at 12:30. So just find a television. Between that, the Champions Cup, the Irish lads going well in the golf, the ladies football, the semi-finals, just find a television and sit down and hope. You can't really hope that the sun's not shining, because, you know, that's just not a good idea at Easter. Okay, look, let's move on. Punters Council. We are joined on the line by Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. And we also have tonight's punter, PJ Lynch. Are you there, PJ?
I am. How's it going?
How are you? What is your nominated club or charity?
My nominated charity is Madra, to dog rescue down in Connemara in Galway.
Oh, fantastic. How long is that in the go?
Oh, it's a good few years now. I'm not too sure of the details. Back in 05, 04, I think.
Okay. We will do our best for you. Leon Blanche, are you there as well?
I am indeed. Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm going to ask you to give us odds on some of these, right?
Yes.
David Connolly, former Ireland international, gave us a treble. Watford, Wolves and Arsenal to win at the weekend. Watford playing Huddersfield, Wolves playing Brighton, Arsenal playing Crystal Palace, and that game is on Sunday. So give us odds on that one first of all, Leon.
Yeah, I think it's a very appealing treble. I think those three sides, they're all favourites, so they're in with a big chance. It works out at 100-30. And we'll push that out to 9-2 for the David Connolly football treble. So if it wins, there'll be €450 profit.
Okay, you're writing all this down now, PJ, yeah?
I'm trying to.
Write down all the profits. Jane Mangan has gone for Decrypt in the 3:05 at Cork tomorrow. What's the odds on that, Leon?
Yeah, 3:05 tomorrow. Should have a big chance. It's a 7-4 chance. Again, we'll give it an enhancement. We'll push it out to 5-2. So that would be €250 profit should that horse win. The Boyle Sports Boost, we're going to stick with horse racing. We're going to stick here at Fairy House on Easter Monday. It is the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. I think a horse called Shattered Love for Gordon Elliott, who of course won the race last year, 16-1. But we'll push that out to 20-1 for Shattered Love. I would suggest go each way if our punter would like to go with myself. So each way, Shattered Love at 20-1.
Okay, PJ, there's a lot of dogs hoping that you're going to pick the right one, right? So who are you who's the money going to go on for Madra?
Well, it's since I'm dealing with animals and dogs, it's going to be between the two horses, but I think I'll go with Shatterlove on Monday.
Okay. So what was that again? Remind us, Leon.
Yeah,
that's each
very
way.
Best of luck. Look, we're paying six places in the race, so
great.
€50 each way at 20 to 1 Shatterlove. I really hope she can do it for you, James.
I do too. Thanks a million. PJ, thank you for that. And the best of luck with everybody over at Madra. We'll be in touch if your bet comes in. Thanks very much, Leon. Best of luck. And enjoy the Grand National on Monday. Okay, we've time to go over to the USA. Our resident USA journalist, Jeff Shepherd, is on the line. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today,
Good.
Vaughn?
I am well. I believe you're taking this call on your 9th wedding anniversary to Julie, your brave man.
Well, she is a brave woman. And I think all the credit goes to her.
Have you guys calmed down since Tiger's ridiculous comeback last weekend?
I mean, look, first off, you know, I predicted last week, I didn't think, you know, he'd be the winner. I went with some of the younger guys and, you know, as usual, shows how much I know. You know,
and you're a Tiger man,
it really wasn't
not?
Incredible. It's not that I'm not a Tiger man. It's just I had grown tired of the he's back. It's here. Like, this is going to be it. Like, that had been going on for many years now. And I was kind of really to the point of, you know, I just need to see it, you know, more than anything else. It's not that I'm not a fan of Tiger. It's just... you know, he hadn't won in a while in a major, obviously in a major, it's been whatever it was, however many years. And, so I was just kind of over the storyline of this is it. But, look, I mean, he was phenomenal on Sunday. It was great. You know, there was some significantly bad weather moving through the South last weekend. And so, you know, they moved the start time up, you know, about 4 or 5 hours for the leaders. So we had basically kind of like breakfast at Augusta, you know, all across America. So it was phenomenal. It was on in the morning. And I think just I really enjoyed it. It was kind of almost like when when they're in at the British Open and, or I should say the Open Championship. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, it's great for, you know, it was great to see him come back. Michael Jordan called it the greatest comeback in sports he's ever seen. You know, you feel bad for Molinari for just completely imploding because, I mean, up until the 12th hole, it's he was like a robot. I mean, he just was just fairway, you know, green, putt, just no problems. And then it just fell apart in spectacular fashion. And all credit to Tiger. You know, he loves Augusta. Augusta loves him. He knows that course so well. He plays it so well. And it kind of seemed like, you know, once you got to about, was it, I think maybe the 16th, the 15th or the 16th, when he stuck his approach shot and it was like, okay, this is happening. I mean, it's kind of like the last hour, you knew it was going to happen. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, so many eyeballs watching it. And I mean, it was the talk of the States for several days, definitely.
The NFL fixtures were announced, was it this week, during the week? Tell us about the Atlanta Falcons and their trolling of the Patriots.
Yeah, so, you know, the NFL, you know, for whatever you feel about it and how they... you know, there's the different issues that the league's had over the last couple of years. They know how to make a spectacle out of just about anything. And they have turned releasing the schedule into like a thing. You know, like the games aren't played for, I mean, it's April, you know, we're 5 months away from football, you know, but I mean, people are talking for 24 hours about, you know, the schedule release. And so, you know, as teams are getting more and more creative with the way that they are making their announcements. And the Atlanta Falcons put together a, you know, capitalizing on another very much hyped event going on all over right now, the Game of Thrones premiere that was on Sunday night. They put together a kind of a Game of Thrones style video of their release. And they took a couple of shots at the New Orleans Saints. It wasn't the Patriots, it was the Saints.
Oh,
and, you know, they're big time rivals. And, you know, yes. And, you know, they're big time rivals. And, of course, I'm a New Orleans native, so that's my team. And they took a bunch of shots. They actually had a ram running across the video and it ran into a Saints fan. And then the referee came up and said, you know, incomplete pass, obviously making fun of, you know, the call at the end of the NFC Championship game, which kept the Saints out of the Super Bowl. And, you know, people kind of reacted, you know, one of two ways. They thought it was very funny because they were tired of hearing, you know, Saints fans, myself included, complaining about the call that was not made at the end of the year. Or, you know, you had people like myself who were saying, well, you were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and you lost 28-3 and Sean Payton's 17-7 against you. So why don't you just shut up? So that's all I would like to say. I just wanted to go on the record essaying.
And fight back. Okay. Well, look, I love the NFL, but I've never seen as much as the opening sequence of Game of Thrones. So the whole thing was completely lost on me. I want to ask you about one more story, if you don't mind, Shep. Have you seen anything about the lawsuit that the soccer team, the women's soccer team, has filed against the National Federation?
Yes. Yeah. You know, it basically boils down to, you know, the U.S. women's national team is basically asking for, you know, similar pay and similar, you know, treatment as their male counterparts. And, you know, unfortunately, Yvonne, you know, in a perfect world, I mean, this would be a no-brainer. But unfortunately, we don't live in that perfect world that, you know, everybody wants. What I don't understand is, you know, part of the lawsuit is, you know, medical treatment. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around how a U.S. federation could say we're not going to give the best possible medical treatment to the national team. Like, am I wrong? Is that not, like, insane?
Yeah, it's completely insane. And the background, of course, is their success rate. Elaine Buckley is still here. You know, defending champions in the World Cup. A lot of the nations have actually picked up on this story as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're taking a big risk themselves, like, you know, so close to a World Cup, you know, putting themselves through this, because it's going to take a massive personal toll on the players as well. But it's obviously gotten to the point where this is what they feel they have to do. We saw what, to a lesser extent, what USA Ice Hockey did in 2017, when they threatened to boycott the World Championships in a bid for kind of improve pay and welfare conditions. In that instance, Hillary Knight and Megan Duggan, the co-captains, went to university-level ice hockey players and said, the Federation are going to come to you and ask you to play for your country if we don't. And they got buy-in from players at all levels. And as a result, they got what they needed from their Federation. So, you know, it's sad that it's come to this level for the US soccer team so close to the World Cup, but I think they've got a very strong case.
That's kind of the only strategy to have, though, isn't it? To go to the second tier, third tier players and say, do you know what? Do you think that the USA soccer team has done that? Or
I would definitely think that there's something definitely a strong campaign going on in the background, because they were so supportive of Hillary Knight and Megan Duggan when they did it for the USA hockey team. They were very kind of vocally public. You know, there's community around this and there's camaraderie around this, so I'd be very surprised if they don't have a very stringent kind of backup plan of their backup plan as well.
The World Cup is only a couple of months away now, Shep. We're actually, RT will be showing all of the games live on television pretty much. What's the story in the USA in terms of coverage? Is there much talk about the World Cup yet?
Well, and this kind of ties back into one of the overall arguments that the women's team is making as well versus the men. I mean, the success rate of the U.S. women's national soccer team is obviously off the chart. You know, World Cup champions, you know, Olympic champions. I mean, they've pretty much done it all. And one of their arguments is, look, you know, that's one of the reasons why we should be getting paid more. It's because we're actually, you know, we're winning. They've had much more success in a smaller amount of time than the U.S. men's team has ever really had. And there's a variety of factors and reasons for that. But no, it will be a very popular event that will be televised, you know, here in the States. I mean, Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe and you know, the rest of the team. I mean, Alex Morgan's one of the most popular athletes, you know, in sports right now in the States. So there'll be a lot of eyeballs watching that this summer.
Before we go, Elaine, you might give us a roundup of the coverage that RTE have committed to.
Yeah, so it's kind of a joint broadcast deal between RTE and TG Cahir. So between the two broadcasters, all games of the World Cup are going to be live, free to air on Irish television. So all the group games and then into the business end, into the knockout stages. So I just think it's such a landmark thing. I think back to myself when I was young and I was so soccer mad and just bet into any World Cup or European Championships that were on the TV. The fact that people are going to be able to turn on their TVs at prime time, mm-hmm. you know, the games are going to be kind of 7, 8pm in the evening, and be able to watch what is going to be an absolute spectacle of football. Like, it's going to be, it's the level of competition is ferocious, and it's going to be great to watch.
It's time to go buy our sticker books and our wall charts, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. We're going to have to leave it there. Elaine, that is all we have time for. Thanks for coming in from the 40 foot to, or where were you, sorry?
Sea Point,
good woman. Our swimmer in residence. Thanks also to Breed Stack and all of our reporters out in the field this evening. Enjoy whatever fixtures you get out to see this weekend. Take it easy on the eggs, folks. Our producer tonight was Ronan Lawler. BCO was Andrew DePere, and Emma Power kept us on air. Thanks a million, Emma. Blona Tracy is up next.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.